Sunday, April 15th at 5 p.m. at the Northeast Whole Foods Market in Portland, 3535 Northeast 15th Avenue. Local home birth midwives will show the film, Why Not Home, followed by a QA session with the midwives. Again, that's Is Home Birth Right for Me? On Sunday, April 15th at 5 p.m. at Whole Foods Market, 3535 Northeast 15th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Blue Mountains Biodiversity Benefit on Friday, April 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Laven Community Center in Portland. The Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project has been working to protect and restore the ecosystems of the Blue Mountains and Eastern Oregon Cascades since 1991. This annual fundraiser features performances by the bands Na Rose and Dolphin Midwives, as well as food, drink, and presentations from directors Karen Coulter and Paula Hood. Again, that's the Blue Mountains Biodiversity Benefit on Friday, April 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Laven Community Center, 5431 Northeast 20th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, and this is KBOO Portland.
Come on. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, April 11th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Community, sanctuary, solidarity, and wow, are we heading into impeachment or a war with Russia, or perhaps both? We're going to try to speak today with Richard Painter at the University of Minnesota and hear his take on some of the more disturbing and certainly entertaining, depending on the point at which one examines the elephant, some of the more entertaining aspects of the legal landscape this week. We're off to a fast start. I feel that grown-ups, even using the word tweet and Twitter, unless absolutely necessary, and you are perhaps at the Audubon Society communicating with an elderly member as you are out looking at birds. So that said, the tweets are flying. Just to get to locate ourselves first, though, we'll do a little bit of weather, and then, of course, Umpqua Community College. It just seems like this is the week's mass shooting. They're coming thick and fast, listeners. They're coming thick and fast, and it's some have interpreted this as a symptom of despair. Anger, madness right now that haunts the nation. This has also been understood as a possible cause of the so-called opioid crisis. The opiates that people use in some cases are used to keep their lives on an even keel. Other people will use it in other ways, and they always have. Always will. 3,000 years of history. It was remarkable. I heard on another radio station that's trying to wrap its brain around opiates that doctors had absolutely no idea what they would do to people. Basically, relieve pain. But that said, they had no knowledge of the fact that. The first sign of opium in art, in literature and music, it begins around 3000 BC at Eleusis, the Eleusinian Mysteries, where images of the opium poppy, as well as images of sheaves of grain, which would probably suggest alcohol, were involved in the mysteries. We know very little about them, except for reports of a concubine. And Ken, oh, thank you so much, Stormy Daniels, down through the ages. These images, though, recurred in the Western canon throughout, all these years. And they also have played a role in the creation of some of our greatest music and writing as well. In the 1700s and 1800s, you could buy opiates of one sort or another at any pharmacy. Children were given them. People took them on a regular basis for pain and then put them down. There was no crisis. Nobody was running around with their underpanties on fire. For that matter, in other countries, we don't see this crisis emerging. Causing a person to ask, is this a problem of addiction to opiates, or is it the problem is an addiction to crisis? And Americans' love of hysteria. It is indeed very, does have drug-like effects on people, and we might want to take that into account also, as we try to perhaps sort through those who would wish to pursue a professional career in medicine and weed out people who don't know very much about some of the most basic and fundamental tools of the trade. That said, as we await Richard Painter, and we just have to touch on that there's so many headlines right now. Anyone, take your pick. Trump canceled his Latin America trip, which was no small thing. This was a very, very important junket for Trump, and or you could say a trumpet for the White House. This was a meeting that he will not have a chance to revisit. What Trump will be revisiting is this weekend, perhaps, is a golf course or the halls of the White House, where he will wander in Nixon, perhaps, in Nixon-like a fugue state, wondering what his fate will be, because Trump, however dim-witted he would appear, and unconscious, unaware of some of the documents that he was signing off on, and the people that he was signing off with, nonetheless knows enough about what he did to be afraid. And he apparently, from all appearances and reports, he is very much afraid. Don't forget that however else one wishes to sort of armchair diagnose the moves of this most peculiar president, we do know that the behavior most characteristic is that of a spoiled child. Trump really does have the mentality, apparently. He does not offer us any other options as far as understanding his his ways and means. But there's no other way of seeing it, but he is capabilities of a small child. And the emotions, the tantrums, the name-calling, inability to use the right word in important sentences, that is alone is disturbing enough. Trump, indeed, is in some very deep water. His attorney, his office, which was raided, and he apparently, Mr. Cohen, was very polite, as were the raiders of Trump's eventual tomb, also very polite. The feds are polite, even as they drag you away, never to be seen again. They got stacks and stacks of papers. They know now where all the bodies are buried, and we can only wait and see what the eventual analysis is. This is the suspense at this moment is one of the aspects of the Trump administration's behavior that is going to hold the nation in thrall for the foreseeable future. We are still waiting for Mr. Painter to join us, and my apologies for that. I just want to note, though, that the Oregon State Police, after interviewing a witness in the Umpqua Community College shooting, after a 2-hour interview at the apartment that she showed us on the college campus, the detective's report says that comments were not presented verbatim, but the quotations are expert. Apparently the mother of the shooter said that her son was angry at the world. No kidding, I'll say. But why angry at Umpqua Community College? Apparently she says had always been different, and despite warning signs, Mrs. Harper, the mother, told the authorities that her son never made any explicit comments about hurting people. It's so strange that if the slightest slip of the lip if one has already been targeted for attention at the slightest misspeaking can land you in some serious trouble. Meanwhile, people that dress nice and are seen making their way through suburbia on their rounds, these people are considered no threat whatsoever, no matter what they say. The many threats on others seem to have no influence whatsoever on the behavior, on the response of authorities. And we see all of these all these shootings. Not that it's also painfully apparent that this country has, this is still relatively new, these shootings on a regular basis. And the shootings themselves are so far outside the boundaries, even for American behavior, that we have yet come to terms or develop any ways of managing them. Then that said, this has been Eric Cascadia for Wednesday, April 11th. Derek Crooks, our AM News and Public Affairs Director, engineered the show for us today. Thank you, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Will the U.S. bomb?